podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Before we read this passage, let me ask you this question. If the HBI, that's the Heavenly Bureau of Investigation, were to come today and all of the heavenly agents were to come, and you know them, they have the halos and the wings and the bulletproof vests and the walkie-talkies. If they were to come to our service today and break into the church, would we be found guilty of being the church? Would we be found guilty this morning of being the church? After all the things that we've talked about on Sunday mornings, could they take us in on suspicion of being the church? And I think this morning's message will hopefully put a cap on everything that we've been talking about and perhaps emphasize one of the most important things that we are when we are the church. So we're in Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 14. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And then also turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Here one of the disciples of Jesus, the Apostle Peter, writes in a letter to the churches, 1 Peter 2, 9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." So, the claim that we're going to make this morning from these passages of Scripture and from the New Testament as a whole, whenever it talks about the church, we realize this. The claim is, when the church is the church, Christ shines. When the church is the church, Christ is the one who shines through. So we're going to follow the light here this morning through some passages of Scripture. We're going to start with the fact that God is light. So in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 15 to 16, it says, "God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal," and what's it say about God? "He lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To Him be honor and might forever. Amen." John also wrote, "This is the message we have heard from and declare to you, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." So that's the first message here when it comes to light in God's Word, is that God Himself is light. He has been light for all eternity past. He will be light for all eternity future. There is no darkness with God. We also recognize that when God got around to creating the world in the history of time, that God created light here in our midst. So we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And so the God who is light created a world in which He gave us light. You know, there are a lot of people that argue over how that happened. You know, did God plant the sun in the sky and then eventually as the light traveled, it got here to the earth? Or did God put the sun there and immediately there was light on the earth? How did that happen? You know, I don't know how it happened, but it did happen. And God is the one who created that light. So God is light. God creates light. Then we know that through the course of time, at just the right moment, Jesus came into this world. And Scripture tells us in John chapter 8 that Jesus is the light. So Jesus is speaking to people and He says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So you realize the context of this particular passage of Scripture, that Jesus was standing before a group of people on the last day of the Festival of Tabernacles. Now recognize that during the Festival of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, they would light candles. These candles would be lit each night of the Festival of Tabernacles. More candles would be lit the second night, even more the third night, until it reached the final day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And on that day, the Temple Mount would glow. There would be so much fire and light, like beacons. Now remember, there's no electricity at that time, but they said that you could see that light glowing as far away as the hills of Galilee, and you knew that something special was taking place in Jerusalem that night. And so Jesus, on the last day of the Festival of Tabernacles, at the Temple Mount, stands before the people and says, I am the light of the world. And if you'll follow me, you'll never walk in darkness. So God is light. God has created the light. Jesus is the light. Now here's the magnificent thing that takes place in Matthew chapter 5 that we just read a little bit earlier, and that is, you are the light of the world. That a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Why is that? Because the light. Right? You can't hide a town where people are living and moving, and especially at night when they're lighting their candles and their lamps, you can't miss it. And in our day and age, it's even more true that if you've ever been in an airplane before and you've looked down at night, you'll see pockets of light here and there, and you know that a city can't be hidden because it's obvious where the city is by the pattern of lights. So Jesus says, look, a town that's built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people take a lamp and put it under a bowl. That's not what a lamp is for. Instead, they put it on a stand so that light can travel throughout the whole home. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In the same way as light gives away the fact that there's a town, in the same way that you put a light on a stand in your home so that it brings light to everyone in the room, so the church, the people of God, is to let the light of Jesus shine through us so that the world will not be in darkness. So some of the other writers of Scripture, the Apostle Paul, one of them, decided to continue in this thread. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes, we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory. So you read glory as light, ever-increasing light, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That we're like Moses when he came down off the mountain. His relationship in the presence of God was so strong that he had to wear a veil over his face because it was so bright and the people couldn't bear the sight of his face. This says that we as believers in Jesus Christ, as the church, we glow with God's glory to the world around us with unveiled faces. And where does that glory come from? It doesn't come from us. It's the glory of the Lord. It's the glory of God. Paul writes later in that same letter, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 to 7, for God who said, let the light shine out of the darkness. Remember, God said, let there be light. That God made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. In other words, the light and the power of God emanates out of these frail human packages. That's kind of the miracle of salvation. It's the miracle of the church that the light of God shines through us as broken and vulnerable and sinful as we have been as human beings, that God chooses to take His light, the light of Jesus Christ, and shine it through us, through you. Now you know who you are. You know where you've been and what you've seen and the things you've done and the things you've thought. You know yourself very well. Now, would you consider yourself a good receptacle for the light of God? for God to shine his light through you? And yet he's chosen each one of his children to be bearers of the light, to reflect the light of Jesus Christ, that others might see the face and the glory of Jesus Christ through us. It's an incredible truth. Peter writes, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You are God's people, church. Why? That you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." We also know from the Word of God that our God is eternal light. He is eternal light. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 5 says that on that day, far in the future, when we've all been called home to be with him, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. You won't need to flick the switch. You won't need to clap, however it is you turn on your lights at home. Alexa, turn on the lights. However it is you turn on your lights at home, you don't need any of that. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. So really, you can look at Scripture and say, it's a story of light, right? We have God who is the light, a God who creates life, a God who sends his son Jesus into the world who is light. And then when Jesus goes back to the right hand of the Father in heaven, he leaves us here as his people to reflect that light and to be that light in the darkness of this world. And then one day he's returning, and when he returns, there will be light for all eternity. So the question that we're asking then is, how would the HBI know whether we are the church or not? And the answer to that question would be, does Christ shine through us? Does Christ shine? Is there evidence of the glory of Jesus Christ in our lives and in our life as a church? When the church is the church, Christ shines. Well, let's look at the corroborating evidence this morning that we could present to the HBI in order to corroborate the fact that we indeed are the church. There's a warning that's found in Scripture. So in the beginning of the book of Revelation, see, Revelation is not all signs and seals and beasts and things like that. In the beginning of the book of Revelation, there are some letters that are written by Jesus Christ and delivered by angels to the churches, the major churches that existed in the world at that time. And I believe that these letters are for us today to read and to get a feeling for what God desires from the church. And so in the book of Revelation, we read a letter to the church at Ephesus. And here's the warning. To the angel in the church in Ephesus write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands." That's Jesus, by the way. He says, "I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary." Sounds good so far, right? I know that you are doing a good job being the church and protecting truth. "Yet, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." You've lost your first love. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. "If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place." So the corroboration in Scripture is this. Look, if you are not the church, then the warning is this: you will lose your lampstand. You will lose it. I want you to see what I was told back in the 1990s by reading church growth books, how you went about growing a church. What were the elements of a successful church in those days? Because what they did was they looked at all of the mega churches and they said, well, what are they doing right? And they came up with a formula for how to grow a church. And here's what it looked like back in the 1990s. Contemporary music, a clean nursery, comfortable seating, casual atmosphere, and cool people. Now, that's the way I put it. I don't know if that's how the manuals put it, but cool people. What I mean by that is the people that get up in front of the congregation and speak They are cool. They talk cool. They dress cool. And you want to be like them. And if you come to church and you see those people on the platform, you say, well, I'm cool too, because these are the people of God that I hang out with, so that makes me cool. So, you know, and you sit in the church in the sanctuary and you look around and you say, man, this is a great group of people that I want to be around because they're just so awesome. They're just so cool. So if you have these things, contemporary music, clean nursery, comfortable seating, casual atmosphere, and cool people, you can't help but draw people like moths to your church. They will come. And it sounds like a great package to me, but that package is empty and worthless without the Spirit of God, without the truth of God, without the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, without those things, without all of those things, without the presence of the Spirit and the person of Jesus Christ living through us, without the light of God being shown through the lives of God's people, it's worthless. So the warning that John gives us as he receives it from the Lord is this: if you wander from your first love, Christ, then you can no longer be the light of the world. You've given up that responsibility. That privilege is gone. If you wander from your first love, Christ, then you lose that opportunity. The light of the world is Christ shining through you. The light of the world is Christ's light reflected in you. So if you lose Christ, you lose everything. If He's not first and foremost in our lives as individuals and as a church, then we lose everything. The first priority is Jesus Christ living through this group of people. Anything else is extra. And God forbid if our eyes become fixated on the extra things and we lose the main focus. So is the video working today or not? I don't know. It's not. Too bad. Well, I was going to invite you to come with me this morning to an underground church in China that was forced out of the office building where they had been meeting secretly. And I wanted you to see the joy in their voices as they praise God. Actually, you can't even see their faces. You can only hear their voices because the picture is taken from the back. And it's snowing out, and they are outdoors worshiping. And their feet are cold, and they're holding umbrellas. But they're singing at full voice a hymn. I don't recognize the hymn. It's in Chinese. Never mind that there's no heat. There's no electricity. Never mind that it's snowing and their feet are freezing. Never mind that there are no public restrooms there where they're meeting in this park. Never mind that little children are making a racket because there's no children's church and there's no nursery. It's just a group of people called together by God expressing their love and worship to Him together in that place. Equipping one another to go out and to reflect the light of Christ out into the darkness around them. They know that at any moment that they could be dispersed because they're in a public park. And someone could come and say, y'all need to leave. It's over. But they continue there to stand. And I wasn't going to show you the whole video clip, but the video clip goes on and on and on because there's a preacher there. And apparently Chinese preachers are even worse than American preachers because, you know, they don't all go to the restaurants afterwards. Right? They might go to each other's homes and eat. And he just went on and on and on. And they're just standing there with umbrellas in the snow, listening to this message, and then singing at the top of their lungs the praises to the Lord Jesus Christ. That, brothers and sisters, is the church. The church. I didn't have videos of this, but we could bring you to a church in Saudi Arabia or in Iran, and we could see people worshiping God at the threat of their lives. We could take you to Nigeria, where the people have lost everything for their faith. Their daughters have been taken from their homes by Boko Haram, which is a terrorist group in that area. And their hearts are grieving with that loss still over the years. And where they know that when they come together to worship that they are a target for terrorism. But it doesn't stop them. They walk from villages surrounding, and they come together, and they meet beneath a tent. And they sing, and they worship God, and they pray, and they receive the word. And then they go back to the place where they live, and they're shining the light of Jesus Christ. They don't care who sees it, because they know that this life is not really what matters, but it's the next. And so that, brothers and sisters, is the church. I thank God for our modern conveniences. I thank God for our safety and security. I thank God that we can come on a Sunday morning and, you know, there's nobody at a checkpoint making sure that we're headed to the right place. That when we get here, that we have no fear, that there's going to be some action taken against us by our own government or by local terrorists, that we're comfortable and we're warm. I'm thankful for modern conveniences. But forgive us when we worship the convenience and forget about Christ, because He is the light that shines through us. Anything else is extra. When we worship the convenience and forget Christ, what we are risking is darkness. We risk our light being extinguished. And in this world that we live in today that needs the light of Christ, this is no time for us to go dark. If anything, this is the time for us to shine. When the church is not the church, darkness wins. When the church is not the church, darkness wins. We are designed and saved to be radiant, to glow in the dark, to present a clear and obvious alternative to the way of the world around us. And when we look just like the world, our light goes out. What a sad thing that is. When we are so attracted to the ways and the things of this world that you can't tell the difference between the church and the world. We're called together by God to be the light. We are the called together people of God. We are sent out by Christ to be the light, to shine His light wherever we go. So whether we're here together and the light shines, or we're out there living our lives, going to work, doing our hobbies, serving in the world, we are shining our light. Here or there, we shine the light of Christ. We are betrothed to Christ, and we are waiting for Him to return. And what does it tell us about those who are waiting for the return of their betrothed? We keep our lamps trimmed and bright, waiting for Him. We are the family of God, and our love for one another is said to attract lost people to the church like moths to the flame. We are the body of Christ, connected to one another, serving Him as different parts make up one body. Apart, the light is dim. But when the people of God come together and work together, it's blinding. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit fills us and flows through us to make Christ known and to glorify Him in this world, that His light will shine. And Christ said that if His followers were to decide to zip it, to no longer glow, to keep their mouth shut, that the rocks would cry out. Now, let's not be embarrassed in our day and age by the rocks witnessing to Christ better than we do. We are the light of the world. In John chapter 15, we read, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me." The Holy Spirit's job is to bear witness about Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. "And you also will bear witness because you have been with Me from the beginning." So the reason that God has put His Holy Spirit in us as individuals and as the church is so that we will bear witness to who Jesus is, so that others will know who He is. That's the glory of Christ shining through us. Look at it this way. If life were a theater, Jesus, of course, would be the star of the show. He would be front and center on the stage. Jesus is the star. The Father would be the director. It's His plan. It's His direction. It's His production. He's in charge of it. The Holy Spirit would be the spotlight operator. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit shines the light on Jesus, that everyone can see Jesus and know who Jesus is and glorify Him. And we would be the supporting cast, playing our role to the best that we possibly can in order that Christ might naturally shine and be the star of the show. That's why we are radiant. That's why we are radiant. Not to draw attention to ourselves, but to put Christ on display for all the world to see, to talk about Him, to worship Him, to tell others about the difference He has made in our life, to invite them to come and to hear about Him. We're all about Christ. That's what the church is, and that's what the church does. So I think the Apostle John would say, look, you've lost your first love. Repent. Go back. Listen to my word. Listen to the words of my Son. Pray that God might once again fill you with that light and then shine your light again for Him. Go back to the first things. When you had that early love, when you first came to know Jesus and you were on fire for Him, go back and do those things again. I don't know about you, but I can point to some times in my life when the love of God was so huge and so large in my life that I was just overwhelmed by it. Have you ever had that experience? That you just loved the Lord so much and you'd been through so much in your life that God was just shining there inside of you, and maybe others could see it too. I pray that we each could recapture that first love. So I was impressed as we were driving around down east to see something pretty remarkable. We were driving through Wallace, and we were seeing some pretty devastated areas where the Hurricane Florence had hit and there had been flooding. It seemed like as we were driving through that neighborhood, everywhere I looked, I saw yellow shirts and hats. It was a beautiful thing. It was an incredible thing. To be driving through a neighborhood in Wallace that's close to the river and seeing houses that are being gutted and all of the contents being taken out and seeing these men and women in yellow shirts and yellow hats from the Baptists on Mission. Some of these folks were from North Carolina, as you can see. You might recognize some faces there. Some of these folks were from Missouri, who'd come all the way from Missouri to North Carolina in order to do hurricane relief. And it was a beautiful thing to see the body of Christ. By the way, did you notice in the news when President Trump was in North Carolina, the backdrop behind him? You may not have noticed that. It was all yellow shirts and hats, and it was there, the disaster recovery teams from the Baptist churches handing out meals. And so there's our president and our governor shrouded with, you might call them agents of light, who had come to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. There were no movie stars there. There were no headliners. Mostly anonymous people. I got to be honest with you, a lot of middle-aged men, a lot of us follicularly challenged types. Some of you know what that might mean. That's why we wear those hats. Some with bellies that wander over our belts and jiggle a bit when we laugh. That was the crew. But we were there to serve people and to glorify Jesus. That's the purpose for it. And it doesn't matter if people know what church you're from. It doesn't matter if people know what your name is. What matters is that they see the presence of Christ in that community. The light and the love of Jesus shines. And that, brothers and sisters, is what it means to be the church. Just let the light of Jesus shine through you. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we all need to buy a bunch of yellow shirts and hats and go out and say, hey, we're Quaker Gap. What I mean by that is you should shine just as evidently to the folks around here. We may not be in the midst of a hurricane disaster recovery, but we live in a world that is a disaster. And we are all involved in disaster recovery as the people of God, because we are in a sinful world and we bring the light of Christ and we bring hope and we rebuild lives. And that is our job. And so I pray that you see our responsibility, church, to be the glory of God in this world and the light of Christ in our community. One more thing is a case in point. A case in point from Scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. Paul writes, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." And Paul says, "Then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain." He says, look, if you will do what you are called to do without grumbling or arguing, without moaning and whining and mumbling and muttering, without arguing and disputing and squabbling and bickering and gossiping and creating a scene, if you will do the work of God and obey Him and do it in the right way without all of that junk, with positivity and peace, with unity and love, with joy and laughter, then the light of Christ will shine through you. So let me put it this way. Good deeds done with wrong motives and bad attitudes do nothing to advance the cause of Christ. Right? It doesn't matter if you're obeying Him, if you're doing it with the wrong attitude, with the wrong motive. That's not the light of God shining through. But good deeds done with pure motives and godly attitudes, that shines the light of Christ. So when we obey God and do it with love and leadership, when we do it with peace and positivity, when we do it according to the fruit of the Spirit with kindness and grace, then the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified. When we go out there and we're the church and we say, okay, I guess I can do what God's called me to do today, and we shuffle our feet and we mumble and moan, and we argue and dispute, we might get the job done, but it doesn't reach the desired point. It's not the light of Christ. So what we do makes a difference. How we do it makes all the difference. The light of Christ shines through good deeds that are done in His name, performed in His Spirit to people who have need. So one day I was driving up from the crossroads up toward the church on Mountain View Road. And I've relayed this experience to some folks in my family, and they still don't believe it happened, but it did. I was at a certain point in the road, and I looked off to the left up at the mountain, and there at the base of the mountain was Quaker Gap Baptist Church building, right? The people weren't here. It was just the building. But there was a beam of light that was coming out of the sky from the clouds, just one beam of light shining directly on the church building, and I could see it out there. Now, I have not, since this day, I have not seen the building from that vantage point. I think the trees have grown up too high. Something's changed. But I saw that as I was driving out of the corner of my eye. I looked, and I said, there's this huge beam of light shining directly down at our steeple. Now, what a beautiful sight. And I got down the road a little bit, and where I could turn, I turned around, came back, got in that same spot, looked, and it was gone. It was gone. Just darkness. What a beautiful sight that was, and I wish I was able to catch it on a picture. Church, I pray our light never goes out. I pray our light never goes out. May we, as people called together by God, never cease to shine the light of Jesus Christ through all that we say and we do. We can lose it all, but the one thing we can never afford to lose is the light of Jesus Christ shining through us. So we're going to take some time this morning to pray. And then we're going to sing a song together. I'm going to sing our closing hymn, which is Rescue the Perishing. And I'll give you an opportunity as we sing that song, if the Lord has spoken to you, to come and to pray. But I want to give you an opportunity now for just a few moments in silent prayer to come before the Lord. And if He has spoken to you in a way that spoken to your heart, I want you to hear His voice. So that other video is gone too, right? No, that one works?
No.
It's not good. Okay. So we're just going to take a moment of silence to pray. And then I'll pray with you, and then we'll close by singing our hymn. And at that time, if the Lord has spoken to you and you'd like to come and pray here at the altar, I want to invite you to do that. A few silent moments of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful God You are. Lord, that You would choose us to be Your people, that You would cleanse us by the blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You would call us together, Lord, that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit, and Lord, that You would send us out to be a light in the darkness. Father, we confess, Lord, that life is hard, that we struggle with sin. We struggle with the desires of this world that call to us every day. We know that there's a very real enemy who would like to darken our spirits. Father, we just want to be the church that You've called us to be. We want to be the people that You've called us to be in this world, that we would come together in joy to worship Your name, and Lord, that we would go out to shine the light to our community. So, Father, forgive us for the times when we have failed. Forgive us, Lord, for the ways that we have darkened that light through bad attitudes, bad motives, through broken relationships. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would heal our souls and heal our church. Father, that we would be the church that You've called us to be, that we would shine the light even brighter in this community. Father, that the lampstand would never be taken from Quaker Gap. So, Father, inspire us, O Lord. Help us as individuals to bring our light wherever it's needed. And help us as a church, Lord, to be a city on a hill where the light of Jesus Christ shines until You come. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.